Let me just start this, and let me give you a proper introduction, too. So you're Nathan, you're with Sick Chicken Studios, and you recently developed the game Guard Duty.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, awesome. Yeah, I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you. You know, this game I would have missed, but one of the listeners from my podcast actually brought it to my attention. He knows I'm a big point-and-click adventure guy, and he had mentioned it to me. I loved the look of it immediately, and I was so glad that I got to play it. So I'm excited that I get to talk to you. Now, is it just you that developed this game?
It's me and my friend Andy, who did like all the sort of heavy work on the programming. He set up a lot of the UI and inventory systems and stuff to begin with. And then I kind of, did all the artwork, the design story, and a fair bit of the programming towards the end as well.
Okay. Now, is this your first game that you've made?
It's that first commercial game, first big game. I'd done a couple of jam games previously, and then like a few unfinished projects like many years ago that I kind of tinkered with. But yeah, the first big sort of proper game. First one I bothered like marketing and stuff.
So how long have you been doing this, like developing games?
It's been a hobby thing since I was like early teenage years, like sort of 14 years old. I'm like 31 now, so it's quite a while. But yeah, I just sort of, well, as I grew up, I thought I kind of want to take this a little bit more seriously. And ended up just working on Guard Duty for quite a long time, but it's good to get it out. And yeah, thanks for playing as well. That's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for making it. So is developing like a full-time job for you now? Are you 100% into this, or do you do anything on the side?
I do a bit of freelance work. I do some video editing, I do pixel art for people, which is quite cool. So I get to do artwork for like a few different indie games. And then alongside that, I'm also developing. I'm working on my next game now.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So I definitely want to talk about your next game. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you about pixel art. So I can tell from your Twitter feed, you're really into pixel art. Did you start out as like a traditional artist, like pen and paper, and then kind of get into that digitally? Or did you just get right into pixel art?
I mean, as a kid, I used to want to draw comic books. So I did a lot of sort of, pen and paper sort of drawing. Nothing particularly impressive. But quite early on, as I started playing a lot of the retro games, like the old LucasArts games and stuff, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, this is just made up of loads of dots. And then I figured I'd have a go at it. And just been doing it for ages now. The cool thing about pixel art is you can kind of visualize like a really big world. But it sort of limits on how much effort you have to put in. And maybe not effort, but how much work it takes. Like, if I was to make Guard Duty in 3D, that would take like so long. And you'd need a massive team of people to model everything. And but when it comes to pixel art, it's like if you've got an idea for a location, it takes as long as it takes to, draw that location in quite a small resolution. So it's limiting, but you can also get away with more, I think.
Yeah. And I noticed, I saw a post you made on Twitter about the pixel art on Steam and the person who had made that. And I was really blown away with that. I mean, pixel art is kind of a low resolution look, but I think in many ways you can make it look really beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know how you pronounce their name. Wanila, I think. That's how I would pronounce it, Wanila. That's kind of how it's spelled. They're incredible. They're so good. There are like some really amazing pixel artists out there. Hopefully one day I can get to that level. It's incredible. You need a lot of like really good traditional art skills to be able to get to that sort of level of pixel art. But it's also got quite a low barrier of entry for people who want to start out in it, which is good.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we have these games like that too, because I've been gaming for a long time here. So, I feel like in the 2000s, there was a big push on graphics and how good can we make everything look, especially with like games like Crysis. And in the 2010s, I felt like we stepped back a little bit and we're like, well, let's focus on the game and let's find like other stylistic options that don't have to be, our best photorealism. And we got some games that, are not photorealistic, but absolutely beautiful, games like Ori and the Blind Forest or, what's another one? I can't think of like Child of Light, are these games that look painted almost. So, and I think those even hold up a little bit more over time as well. So pixel art, I think, yeah, kind of falls in that category.
Yeah, definitely. Pixel art's kind of become its own art style now. I think it's relying less on like nostalgia and the retro look and becoming more of its own sort of art movement, so to speak. It's like, mm-hmm. it's really accessible for people who are new to it, but you can do some amazing stuff in it. And yeah, like you say, it's sort of timeless. It's well, most 2D artwork is a thing. I think 3D, if you go for a stylized 3D look, then you can like get away with that look further on. Yeah, but if you're going for like really high fidelity photorealistic 3D, it's only going to be relevant for so long until the next step in photorealistic 3D. And yeah, it just takes more and more resources to make, and then people stop focusing on stuff like story so much, yeah. Which is a shame.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that whole nostalgia thing, because for me, I see pixel art and, you know, initially my first reaction is like, oh, those are the games that I played as a kid in the 90s. But I think we've kind of gone beyond that, and, you know, kids... these days, actually, I work with kids. I work at a middle school, so it's a great way for me to kind of see where, you know, the youth are at and what they think. But to them, pixel art is just, you know, a stylistic choice. It's not this nostalgia bait like it is maybe for some of us older people. But it has kind of become its own thing, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That's good to hear. It's good to know that the kids that are sort of growing up seeing it in indie games are recognizing it more as its own thing.
Yeah, and you know, there were some games. Undertale, I think, was a big one for pixel art. I mean, they loved that game, and I think that kind of opened them up to like, hey, pixel art is a thing. But you know, there has been some big games like that I think championed it. But
yeah, definitely.
So I also want to talk about just like point and click adventure games as well, because those are, you know, I understand, like, as someone who really enjoys these games, I'm kind of in the minority a little bit. You know, a lot of people are more focused on the bigger titles as well. But I absolutely love the old LucasArts games, you know, like Grim Fandango, Day of the Tentacle, Full Throttle. I mean, I love those games. And I love that they're remastering now, too, which is awesome. But, you know, I always worried that point and click adventures are going to turn into or going to become outdated or something. But that's why I'm so glad to see when people like you make a game, a point and click adventure game like this, like, oh, people still care about these. They're still making them. People are still playing them. Like, that's very reassuring. Do you ever worry that the genre is dying out or dwindling?
Yeah. I completely see your point with it. Cause yeah, it's a niche genre. It was massive in the 90s. Now it is a niche genre. But I think there's a lot of the sort of bigger players in the point-and-click indie kind of scene. They're trying to push the genre forward a bit, like still catering to that kind of style of game where it's like reliant on dialogue and story and it's about sort of thinking and exploring spaces, but just making them a bit more accessible, like not having these dead ends in puzzles and not having like massive amounts of dialogue. Although I was a little guilty of that with Guard Duty in a couple of places, I must say. But yeah, it's kind of, I think there's a niche, and sometimes if something's niche, it can be good for people like me because it's easier to spread the word about your game. Yes, there's not quite as many people interested in the genre, but it's a lot easier to stand out in that genre because it's not flooded so much. Like, if I was trying to make an FPS 3D game, I would have no hope of standing out because there's just like so many out there. But yeah, it means that we've got this kind of nice community of people who are really into the games and they're really supportive of them. And if you make a good enough game, then you can kind of break out of that bubble a bit and then get wider attention. I think a good example of that's probably Dark Side Detective. I don't know if you've heard of that game.
No. Dark Side Detective. Is that a new
like,
one?
It's relatively new. It's an indie one. I think they released it episodically, and they finished the first season last year, I think, maybe the year before. Developers are called Spooky Doorway, I believe. But anyway, yeah, that was like a really, really big hit because they sort of released the first episode for free. And then you could like pay to unlock the other episodes. And it had like this really nice, accessible way of playing it. Really simple pixel art style. This looks really nice, nice and colorful, and like great writing, great story. But yeah, that's definitely one that's kind of broken out of the bubble, I think. And that's what we're sort of aspiring to do. And just hopefully bring more people into the genre and while still catering to those who have been fans of it for years and years.
Yeah. And all right, so that one, Dark Side Detective, definitely going to check that one out off your recommendation. And I really like how they're doing. I noticed other developers are doing this with some point and clicks as well, where they release the first episode for free and then you pay for the other other ones. And it's kind of like that whole shareware model of the early 90s coming back in a way, which I think is cool. But yeah, definitely we'll check that one out. I know one that really stood out to me 2 years ago was Thimbleweed Park. That one really excited me because it was just, I thought it was done so well, and it was just like, oh, thank God, point and click adventure. The genre is not dead. But Guard Duty, I really enjoyed, and I really liked how it was accessible for people who don't play point and click adventures, but without dumbing down the genre, I felt, or dumbing down the puzzles, which I think is really hard to do. So it's kind of a shorter game. I think it's, you know, around 5-6 hours or so. And, but the puzzles are really good. It's got a lot of humor in it. It's got, voice acting, which, you know, I can imagine, maybe you can talk about it from a development standpoint, but I'd imagine that's a lot more work to get voice actors, a lot more money.
Thanks for the compliments. Yeah, we did try to make it more accessible. And so with the voice acting, we did a Kickstarter initially for the game. I was still working full time at the time, and I kind of just wanted to test the water, see if it was something people would like, and kind of naively promised voice acting in the Kickstarter. No idea how much work it would take. I thought, I'll just get a bunch of my mates to do silly voices. I'll do some voices and everything will be fine. But yeah, we ended up with so much dialogue in the game, and it was a real push to get all the voice acting done. It's a fairly decent quality. I was quite surprised with it. I did a lot of the voices myself. Like I said, I got some friends in. I did get some professional voice actors in as well.
What voices did you do?
I did about 13 or 14 characters in the game. I did the main character, Tom Burt.
Yeah, I was going to say, you do sound like him. I didn't want to jump to that conclusion, though.
Yeah, I thought I'd go with the safe bet. And because the main character's got so much dialogue, I thought if I do that myself, then if there's any rewrites and stuff, it'd be a lot easier to record that. And yeah, I did a bunch of like other silly characters, like the king and the troll and a few of the guards and stuff. But yeah, and also got some awesome voice actors in there that were sort of paid to come in and do stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, and I, by the way, I really love the puzzle with the spider in the forest. I thought that was absolutely great. If I could give you a specific compliment on the game.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Yeah, it was quite a risky puzzle there because a lot of people don't like mazes. And I've always been a fan of getting lost in adventure games, like getting lost in a maze. And I wanted to make it a little bit easier, so I added like a mini map. But yeah, I'm glad you liked it. That's cool. Yeah.
So we kind of been talking about this already, but what games do you play, or do you even have time to play being a developer?
So when I was working on Guard Duty, I didn't have as much time as I would have liked to play games. Now I'm freelancing at the same time I'm working on the new project. I've been playing a few games. Recently replayed through all of the Silent Hill games, including the sort of Western ones, like Western developed ones. What have I played recently? Played Lamplight City earlier this year. That's by Francisco Gonzalez. That was good. Played Unavowed by Dave Gilbert, which is another pretty big hitting adventure game. I play all sorts. I'm playing Death Stranding at the moment, which is taking up a lot of my time.
It's a big game. So where do you fall on that? I feel like I can't get a strong opinion on that game from people. I haven't played it yet myself, so I don't know. How are you liking it?
I'm a big Hideo Kojima fanboy, but I must admit it's getting to the point where I'm trying to five-star all of the aspects of the game, all of the deliveries and stuff. And that's a real slog. Like, that is taking up so much time, and it is just traversing between places over and over again. It's a real nice break when you go back to like the main story missions, because they are like superb. The storytelling's really good and the cutscenes are really good. But yeah, so I I'd say if I was a bit more casual about it and just sort of did a little bit of the side quests and a bit of the main story, it probably wouldn't be quite so much of a slog. But yeah, trying to sort of five-star everything is becoming a little bit boring.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's great. It is good. It is good.
Yeah, I usually do that as well. You know, like typically Far Cry games are like that for me, where I start out, I'm like, I'm doing all the side missions, I'm doing absolutely everything, all the trials, like, and then you get a little into it and you're like, all right, maybe I'll just stick to the main quest line. But yeah, it's nice that they put that extra stuff in there, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it's cool that now that, you know, they have Norman Reedus in that, and, you know, all these big name actors are starting to come into video games. I feel like it's a great, great time for video games with storytelling.
Yeah, definitely. I think so too.
So let's talk about your new game. Now, I know you haven't said much about it, but I think you tweeted about how you're set on an idea. It's going to be something in the horror genre, and solving puzzles with sound.
Really like vague tweet about things to do with the game.
Yeah, we don't want to commit to anything. Yeah, people will hold you.
That's
to
it. Yeah. So I finished Guard Duty, I've been playing around with lots of different ideas, and kind of I was in a bit of a creative rut. I was like working on something for 2 weeks and then having another idea, working on that, and jumping between different projects. Although I was working on a 3D project for a while, because I've done 3D for jobs and stuff in the past, and I thought, you know, I'd love to make a 3D game. And just working on my own, it's sort of, I had to accept that it was going to take way too long to do something fully 3D. Maybe my next game, I can work with some other people and do something like that. So yeah, I've gone back to pixel art. It's actually lower resolution than Guard Duty, because Guard Duty was like a 4:3 aspect ratio, and it was quite densely detailed, the pixel backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So this one's a little bit more stylized. It is psychological horror. I'm trying to stay away from like jump scares and your typical like really gory horror style. It's more of a it's more based on atmosphere, and like, because it is at heart, it's going to be a point and click adventure game, but with a lot less dialogue than you'd normally see, and puzzles a bit closer to those in like survival horror games, which are still essentially like point and click puzzles, but yeah, a bit more sort of environmental storytelling. It is primarily based around sound. I shouldn't go into that too much, but the idea is you will be kind of this might change, right? Everything is super early, but the idea is you're sort of like hunting down signals with a shortwave radio, and uncovering secrets about this mysterious town, and that's about as much as I can give away at the moment without it just sounding like absolutely crazy. But yeah, I'm still in the planning stages. Done a fair bit of artwork for it now. I like developing the world first. It's not necessarily the best way of going around about things, but I really like getting an idea of the environment that you're going to play in first, and then kind of working in puzzles and narrative into that. But yeah, it's hopefully going to be spooky and moody and have like some dark synths and stuff. It'd be pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. And I love the fact that it's going to be more of a psychological horror, and, you know, jump scares. I've said this numerous times on the podcast, people are probably sick of it, but the whole jump scare thing, you know, there's diminishing returns on that, and they're usually pretty forgettable after a while, but that psychological horror, I think, tends to stick with you a little bit longer and works better in storytelling. So I'm excited about that. And how do you think horror works in, well, I guess in both like a pixel art environment and also point and click adventure? Do you think there's any challenges that you're going to face, like trying to bring out or trying to scare people in that kind of medium?
Yeah, I think part of the reason why I was originally wanting to go with 3D is I think that lends itself a bit better to horror, because you've got more control over where you're looking and stuff. So you can have like things in like the peripheral vision, like something just out of sight, and then when you turn around it's disappeared, or you can kind of play with the camera a lot more in 3D. But what I'm aiming for is, so I've chosen this slightly lower resolution than I'd normally use, so that one, it's a bit quicker to create backgrounds and environments, And that also allows me to create more environments. So I'm now aiming towards having multiple camera angles of locations. So a lot of the time in point and click games, you go into, like, I don't know, a building or a shop, and it's normally just one camera angle and everything you can click is there, and then you exit. Whereas I want to have sort of fixed cameras that change as you move about. And yeah, I think we're going to have to rely upon sort of the unknown a bit more. So, like, suggesting things through, like, because it's low resolution, you don't necessarily know what you're looking at. If something's, like, really pixely and, like, small in the distance, it can almost be more creepy because your mind kind of fills in the gaps. So yeah, trying to be, like, a bit more subtle with the horror, but also relying on, like, audio and, yeah, the psychological side of it more, I think.
Okay, cool. Well, can't wait for that, and I look forward to more upcoming tweets.
Yeah, there should be some stuff coming, like, within the next few months. I'm hoping to release. They do, like, an official announcement, hopefully. We'll see how it goes.
But. All right, awesome. So, and if people want to follow you, what's your Twitter?
It's at Sick Chick Studio, which is short for Sick Chicken Studio. Nothing else, but yeah, okay. Sick Chick Studio.
Cool. Yeah, and I definitely recommend that. You post a lot of pixel art stuff on there, very cool stuff. And I'm a little new to Twitter, so I'm kind of figuring out the whole social media landscape. I put it off as long as I could, but I finally dove in. And then also Guard Duty is available on Steam. I'll be sure to link that as well. It's 40% off right now for the sale, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep, the Steam Autumn sale.
Yeah. And
super cheap.
I've been trying to push that as much as I can because I think it is the perfect point and click, like, entry level point and click adventure for people who are not familiar with that genre. I think, you know, jumping into the bigger ones or the old 90s classics is a bit much for people at this point, but I think this is a great way to introduce someone to the genre. So
thank you, it's good to hear. Yeah, it's like, that's exactly what we were going for, so I'm glad you think that.
Awesome. All right, man, well, thank you so much for doing this interview. It was really awesome to hear what you had to say, and good luck with your next project.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on. It was great.